Yeshiv, Tavshinayim Ches. So, Avram mentioned before that it's interesting that the Parsha talks about by Yosef, and then all of a sudden there's this whole story of Yehuda there in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and we come back to Yosef. And we're talking about the idea before about how we're entering into a world now where things are happening under wraps. In other words, what appears on the surface is not the whole story. What appears on the surface is just really not even a fraction of the story. Then there are other things going on that are behind the scenes, and the Torah allows it to be privy to those things, right, etc. And I think that's very, you know, just true b'chalal about everything that's happening in Parsha. So let's take a look. See, the first subtitle on the top is, this is Yosef, Hemsheichol Shel Yaakov. Yosef is the extension of Yaakov. Ushneim, both of them, Nichnasim L'choshech, both of them enter into the darkness, right? Kedei Lotzias HaOr Mitoch HaChoshech, in order to extract the light from out of the darkness, right? Both Yaakov and Yosef. So if we go back just a scooch, if we go back to Parshas Vayetze, right? Last week was Vayishlach, Parsha before. Just to re-grease the wheels. It says over there, when Yaakov awoke from the dream, it says, Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnaso, Vayomar Achen Yesh Hashem B'mokom Hazeh, V'anochi Lo Yadati. He awakens from the dream, that's in Parshas Vayetze, yeah? And he says, God is in this place. V'anochi Lo Yadati, and I didn't know. Which we said at the time was a very bizarre sort of statement. Right, that's not supposed to God. If God's not someplace, then there is no place, right? Remember, maybe we cited at the time that book was called Mekomo Shalom. It's called the place of the world. He makes everything else possible. He gives kiyum to everything. He gives existence to everything. He's the place of the world. So, I mean, I didn't know that God was here, right? By Yirav Omar, and he said, Manora Mekom Hazeh, how awesome is this place? Ein Zeh Kim Beis Elokim Vezeh Shar Shamayim. Okay. That was his comment when he awakened from his dream. So Sasemis says over there, look at the bold there, Shenichtav alav l'shvach, Shehirgish v'yisorer, this is written kilu in the praise of Yaakov, that he felt and he was awakened to the idea, Gam sham, chiyus Hashem Yisbarach, that even here is the chiyus of Hashem Yisbarach, is the life force of Hashem Yisbarach. Like, what's the chiddush? Right?
Get to the life force, even where?
Right, because, no, not in Egypt. We're talking about in Vayetze. This is when he went to sleep, right? When he called, when he dreamed on his way out of Eretz Yisrael.
Right?
B'chsiv, yesh Hashem b'mokom hazeh, anochi lo yadati. Michlal, what we see from here. In other words, if this is written about Yaakov, and it's not considered something deficient on the part of Yaakov, it's considered something that says a milah. So what's the milah? Of course, everybody has a check that Hashem is everywhere. And you know, just ask Big Gedalia Gumber, whatever, you know. Shem is here, Shem is there, Shem is everywhere, etc. Okay, I'm watching, sorry. Michlal Shahaya Moko Meruchak Ma'od, Shaya Koshe Laham Mishye Sham Chius Hashem Yisbarach. Ve'er Eyo Hashem Yisbarach, Ki Molei Chol Arz Kvod of Ezet Tfilas Arvis. The Chiddush is, and this we talked about when we were learning Vayetze.
Meruchak is far.
Meruchak is distant. Distance. The Chiddush was, you could think that you can't find Hashem over here. Of course Hashem has to be here. If he's not here, then what do you call it? Then it doesn't exist. Everything exists only because he wills that it be. But maybe it's not findable for us. Maybe to find the way he's giving life to this place or this moment in time, maybe it's too difficult for us. Yaakov, Rachel experienced? No. You can find Hashem everywhere. And that's the tefillah of Ma'ariv. And enter into the darkness, right? You can find Hashem even in the darkness. And similar to the example, yeah, from modern day times of this par excellence is when the Klosenberger Rebbe was in Auschwitz, and they would call it, the young boys would come off the train from Hungary, right? And for most of them, they weren't going to live much longer, right? He came over and said, "Do you believe that Hashem is here with us, even here, even here, even here?" Right? I mean, he's the example. So the Chiddush, right, of Yaakov Avinu is, in spite of the darkness, in spite of the confusion, in spite of everything, you always find Hashem in different ways. Fine. That's Yaakov. The Pasuk in Ovadia.
Oh, just your cake.
I knew it was going to happen. I knew it was. Okay. Okay. I knew it. Like, it wasn't even a suffix. It wasn't even a suffix. Okay. The pasuk in Ovadia, that's in the Haftorah of Vayishlach of last week, right? So there it says, V'haya beis Yaakov eish, and the house of Yaakov will be fire, u'beis Yosef lahava, and the house of Yosef will be flame, u'beis Esav lakash, and the house of Esav will be like straw. V'doku behem v'chalum, and the fire will set it fire.
Yaakov is fire.
Esav is the flame carrying the fire. Yosef is the flame carrying the fire. And Esav is the kash, is the straw that will be burnt up. V'doku behem v'chalum, and it shall burn them and then consume them. V'loyeh sarid l'beis Esav, and there'll be nothing left of beis Esav, ki Hashem dibir, for Hashem has spoken. So Rashi says in Chumash, right? Rashi says in Chumash, when Rachel gave birth to Yosef in Parshas, what do you call Vayetze, so Yaakov said, it's time to go. Why? Because now that Yosef is born, and he is the one who is going to be the antithesis of Esav, now we can go back and confront Esav. That's what Rashi says in Chumash.
I need an explanation of the difference between fire, right?
Right. And flame?
And flame.
Well, the idea of the flame...
Fire consists of the flame?
Well, I don't know if we're really coming to make a physical difference. I guess what we're saying is that when you think in terms of a flame being carried, right? Mm-hmm. Right, fire, you talk about that expression of energy, as it were. Something is burning. When you're talking about a flame, so a flame gives you a controlled usage of the fire. If you have a flame, you can use it to cook. If you have a flame, you can use it as a torch and light up an area. If you have a flame, you can light a candle with it, give you light in a room, etc. So that's the
fire by itself has really no usage.
Yeah, I mean, it's fiery. Really, it is a directed usage of the fire. That would be the flame. I guess that's what we're talking about English words here, but. So that's what he calls. That's what Rashi said in Vayetze. When Yosef is born, so then Yaakov says to Rachel Leah, it's time to go. Now we've got Yosef. Now we've got the one who will be the main combatant against Esav. And in this week's parsha in Vayeshev, right, it says Vayeshev Yaakov. So Rashi brings down a medrash. Hapishtani hazeh, a guy carrying flax on his camel. Nichnasu gemalav to unim pishtan, his camels with all bales and bales of flax come in. Hapechami tama, the blacksmith, right? The guy who's a smithy, he's making also pechamim are kindling, right? Hapechami azeh, what?
Charcoal.
Yeah, charcoal. Hapechami azeh, tama. Anan, he cut his car, pishtra is there. Where's all this gonna fit? There's not gonna be room left for me. Hayapikech echad meshiv lo. One clever fellow said to him, don't worry about it. Nitzot echad yotzimi bapuach shelcha. One spark comes out from your bellows. Yeah? Shesorif is cool, it'll burn up all the pishtra. Kach Yaakov, ra'a kol a'alufim haksuvim lamala. Yaakov saw at the end of Parshas Vayishlach, it talks about all the tribes and tribal heads of Esav, right? Tons of them. Tamav, Amma, Miyachol, Echvosh is cool, and how can you conquer all of them? Maksiv Lamata, what does it say? Nerith, in the beginning of our Parsha? Ela told us, Yaakov, Yosef. Don't worry, Yaakov, you've got Yosef. Why? It says, "Vahaya beis Yaakov, Eishu beis Yosef, Lahava beis Esav Lakash." Right, he's going to be the flame of your fire. He'll be able to combat Esav. The Medrash also talks about the idea. We don't have it here about Laasid Lavo, when everyone is going to come, as it were, to come and claim against Esav. You're not deserving. We're going to destroy you. He says, by what right are you going to destroy me? Right? By what right are you going to destroy me? Are you perhaps more tzanua than I? Wait a second, Reuven, I remember some story with Bilah. Right? I remember some story with Bilah. right? And then, and Yehuda, what about Tamar? I would remember some story with Tamar. And what do you call it? You tell me that I'm violent? Shimon Velevi, I seem to remember something about Shechem, right, etc. And then, what do you call it? And then, what do you call it? I have sin. Well, I remember something about selling a brother, right? So what are you guys saying to me? Then Yosef is the only one who's clean. He's clean. And Yosef is the one who's able to combat Yosef HaTzadik. Plus also he finds himself in positions of power, in positions where he could take advantage of power to either abuse it, right, on the level of aggression, or take advantage of it for what he called for obtaining for himself pleasure, etc. And Yosef doesn't fall prey to that. He neither abuses it in terms of becoming a power monger, nor does he abuse it in terms of taking advantage of his position, what he called to get for himself pleasure. Neither. So he's the one who's able to combat. So continue. Pasuk says, we see.
Continue where?
So the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu. The Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, it says since Yeshayahu, we're going to do, right, because you like to do the Sfas Emes, we're going to do a lot of Sfas Emes.
Okay, so.
Yeah, what?
We've had the background already?
I think we had a little bit of background here, right? I think so.
So what Pasuk are we doing in those weeks, Chumash? You said Vayetze, you said Gavadia.
We did Vayesha, Yaakov, Eretz, Megure, Aviv, Eretz, Canaan. Right, but we're going to come to the Pesukim in the Chumash. Right? We're still doing the prologue. Right, we're still doing the prologue. Right. Still doing the prologue. Fine. So wait. Ruch Hashem. It says, Bezakech Yatziluch Kibbutzayech. When you call out, you'll be saved. Your congregations will save you. Your gatherings will gather you. Veskulam Yisa Ruach. Yikach Havel. So the truth is, this medrash is talking about, yeah, it's actually coming to criticize the Jewish people. Yeshayahu is coming to criticize the Jewish people and say, you know, you're gonna go look for all your gods to save you, right? And they're not gonna be there for you. But the medrash uses it, yeah, the medrash uses it in a positive sense. Bezaakech yatziluch kibbutzayich, kinuso v'kinus bonav, the medrash says. Haytzilu miyad Esav ve'alufav. Yaakov, when there is unity between himself and his children and amongst his children, that will be what saves what he called the Jewish people from the hands of Esav. Kulam yisa ruach. They'll carry them away. They what he called they'll be blown away like the chaff. Pirush afki akosav ne'amar betochachav Yisrael. Even this pasuk, like I said, in the context in Yeshayahu is talking about criticizing the Jewish people for their, you know, putting your faith in all these the other forces, etc. Rak ikar mechuvan shakol toli bekoach hakinus kemaymer chachamim knisya shi l'shem shemaim sofelis kaim. So the salvation of the Jewish people is going to be found in their achdus, in their oneness. And we know the second base of Mikdash was destroyed because of sin aschinam. When we rectify that sin of Sinas Chinam, then the Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt. So the gathering, the ingathering of the Jewish people, the unity in the Jewish people, right, that's going to bring about, as it were, the ultimate redemption. Further. Okay, now we're going to start with our Parsha now. Right, we started our parsha because our parsha is not a parsha of unity. Our parsha is a parsha of disunity. Right, our parsha is Yosef bringing back the diva.
You said on the surface.
Well, again, what do you call what's going on? I mean, there are lots of things going on, but we see how the thread that's taking us to the Golas. Yosef brings the diva of about his brothers. He says they're over on Avraham and Achai. They're over on Gilead Arias, right? They're considering the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah as servants, right? Etc. And we see the brothers kinna for Yosef, the brothers sinna for Yosef, etc. And this ultimately leads to the Jewish people winding up in Mitzrayim, right? But embedded in it, right? Embedded in that, we'll see what else is happening at the same time. Fine. Go down to recall. Go down to where it says over here. It says Yeshnei Inyanim Bechoshech. There are a few things about darkness. Again, we said that Yaakov Avinu was Matakein Myrith. He came to a place of darkness, whatever it was. Again, we talked about when we were learning Vayetze. And he thought that maybe there are places where you can't find Hashem. Of course, Hashem is there, but you can't find Him. It's too deep, his darkness. No, but he learned that no, you can find Hashem no matter what the situation is. Yosef, we know, is the extension of Yaakov. Yosef is the flame that carries Yaakov to even different types of darkness. So now let's see. It says in Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Tezvav, it says, Vayimtza Eyu Ish. This is when Yosef is sent by his father from Hebron. Remember, it says over there that Yaakov sent Yosef Me'emek Hebron. Emek Hebron, from the valley of Hebron. So Rashi says, but Hebron's not in a valley. Hebron's on a hill, right? We had to go up to Hebron. Hebron was high, right? What do you mean, valley of Hebron? Hebron. So Rashi says, right, this is the beginning of where the depth of that which is told to Avram Avinu at the Bris Ben Amsar, that his children would wind up being slaves in a land that was not theirs for 400 years. This is the beginning of it. So the Amic, the depth of what was told to Avram in Hebron, right, before, two generations earlier, is now going to the ball is starting to roll. So Yaakov sends Yosef. He says, go look for your brothers. And Yosef knows his brothers are not happy with him. Right? They're not happy with him. He comes to Shechem and he can't find them. He can't find them. So what would happen now? Can't find them. So he go home. Go home. What are you supposed to do? We just stand there? Waiting to hitch a ride? He says, Vayimtza Eyu Ish. And a person found him. V'inei Toa Basada. And he's wandering in the field. V'yishaleu ha'ish. And the ish asked him, Lemor, Mativakesh, what are you looking for? So Yosef tells him, Eshachai anochi mavakesh. My brothers I'm searching for. Hagidan ali efohim roim. Tell me where they are. Tell me where they are. So Rashi says, who is this ish? Gavriel, the Malach. Why do we assume that this Ish is Gavriel? Because first it says Vayimtza Eyu Ish. If you look at the pasuk there in Pasuk Tezvav, Vayimtza Eyu Ish, Vinitoba Basader, Vayishaleu. It should say Vayishaleu, and then he asked him, why does he say Ha'ish? Why do you say Ha'ish again? Of course we know who's asking him. He was found by a man, and just continue on, and the man asked him, what are you looking for? But it says, no, Ha'ish. Who is the Ish? The Ish is Gavriel, because the pasuk in Daniel says, refers to Gavriel as Ha'ish Gavriel. Ha'ish Gavriel. So we see already that Yosef is lost. Yosef is not going to be able to go to his brothers. Yosef will just have to come home, and the whole story is not going to happen. Hashem sends a Malach. He sends Gavriel to tell him where his brothers are. In other words, Hashem is going to make sure that this is going to happen. This event is going to happen. And even though people have got Bechira, right, they can choose to do the right thing, they can choose the wrong thing, but the destiny is going to be fulfilled over here. The Ish, Gavriel HaMalach, tells him where his brothers are. So he tells him, where are my brothers? So he tells him, Pasuk Yud Zayin, the next to last citation on there on the Daf, Hayomer HaIsh Nasu Mizeh, they have traveled from this. It's a funny terminology. Ki shamati omrim, I heard them saying, Nelcha dosaina. Let's go dosaina. Vayelech Yosef achar echav vayimtzaim bedosan. And so Yosef followed the instructions, and he went to Dosan, and there he found his brothers. But the whole first part of the pasuk is unnecessarily wordy. Vayomer ha'ish nasu mizeh, they have left this. Ki shamati, I heard them say, omrim, nelcha dosaina, let's go dosaina. So it's overly wordy. Just tell them they went to Dosan. You have to give them a whole song and dance. Oh, you know, I heard that they said, let's go to Dosan, etc. We don't need, you know, all 9 yards over here. If we're getting paid by the words, that's good for Dickens. That's not for us. So Rashi says, Nasu Mizeh, because embedded in these words over here, on the surface, just like we said before, maybe say, Yoish, a guy found him. But there's too much over here. Who is the Ish? Rashi tells us Gavriel is the one who's making sure he's going to find his brothers. There's too much talking in this pasuk here. Say Chazal, Rashi brings from Tanchuma. He siu atzmon mina achva. When it says nasu mizer, don't tell me nasu mizer. Just say holchu ledosan. They went to Dosan. Nasu, they traveled from here. He says they have left their sense of achva for you. Right? They have left their sense of brotherhood towards you. Nasu mizer. They've not just traveled away physically from here, but they've caused hesiu atzmon. They've caused themselves to be alienated from you. Hesiu. They caused themselves to travel, yeah, emotionally away from you, to distance themselves from you emotionally, not just in topographically. That they were here in Shem and they went to Dosan, but they have as it were, they have removed themselves from their brotherhood towards you. That's the remez in the words Nasumi Zeh. Neilcha dosaina, as Rashi says, levakish lecha nichle dasos, to find trickery, for a trickery type of behavior, right? A plotting type of behavior. A nochel is a person who is deceiving, he's devious. They're looking for devious ways.
Where is that pasuk coming from?
Yeah, this is the pasuk, right? The pasuk says, this is the pasuk, Vayomer. See it?
Yeah.
Ha'ish nasu mizeh. Right? Ki shamati omrim nelcho dosaino. So Rashi says nasu mizeh. It doesn't mean they've traveled from here. Nasu mizeh means they've traveled, as it were, yeah, conceptually. They've distanced themselves from you. They've distanced their brotherhood from you. That's nasu mizeh. And nelcho dosaino. Let us go dosaino. Why? He's saying that they said, let us go to Dosan. We don't want to hear, you don't need to quote them chapter and verse, just say, they went to Dosan. I heard them saying, let's go to Dosan. So Rashi says, again, because it's too verbose, it's too many words here. We don't need such flowery language, you don't need such an elaborate description. Says Rashi, Nilcha Dosan, the last line on the page, Levakesh Lecha Nichle Dosos. They went to search for devious ways to deal with you. That they can kill you. They're looking for devious ways to do you in. That's embedded in the words Nelcha Dosaina. In the words Nasu Mizeh, they have left behind their brotherhood towards you. Right? And Nelchu Dosaina, embedded in that, hidden in those words, is what? Is that they're searching for devious ways to do you in.
That's what Gabriel tells him?
Yeah. Again, he didn't tell him explicitly right. What Rashi said. He used words that could be understood on a superficial level, right? They traveled from here. I heard them saying, let's go to Dosan.
Of course.
Right?
Say.
But embedded in those words is also another message, that they've distanced themselves from you, and, right? And they have also, as it were, they're searching for devious ways to do you in. That's hidden in the words. It's not explicit in the words.
You think Yosef?
Oh, that's precisely the point. Look on the page 2. The Rabbeinu Bachya says, "Kishamati omrim." On page 2, on the top. In kishamati omrim, yechter milas osam. Kishamati osam omrim. Nelcho dosaina. Asu chazal b'midrashim iloshem nichle dosos. Right? He quotes the same chazal, the same Medrash Tanchuma that Rashi did. Ki hamalach rotza legalos liyosef machshav tamara. You hear this? The malach wanted to reveal to Yosef their evil intentions. Now tell me that's not bizarre. If Yosef hadn't been told by Gavriel in the first place,
where they were,
he would have gone home. He would have gone home.
So it was obvious that Hashem wanted
it to happen. Right. And yet, the malach is being meramez to him. He's giving a hint. But don't go.
So maybe
it's bizarre, though.
Yeah,
pretty bizarre. Ki amalach rotz legalus liyosef machshav tamara. Vini Yosef lo hevin hanistar. Yosef didn't understand that which was hidden. Shemitoch haloshon shunich ledosos v'halach agra nigle v'rodav achleim v'yimtze medosam. Yosef, yeah, according to the Rebbe Bachya, yeah, didn't understand the hidden. The hidden message. He went with the superficial message, the, where they are, so he went there. That's what Rabbeinu Bachya says. So we have a little bit of a problem here. On the one hand, if Hashem had never sent Gabriel in the first place, where did Gabriel come from? It's not like he showed up from a vacation, right? If Hashem hadn't sent Gabriel in the first place, he would have gone home. That would be the end of the story. He sends Gabriel, and Gabriel, as it were, yeah, Gabriel then it gives him a hint that he should go home. That this is dangerous. Don't do this. But he didn't take the hint. The Orachaim HaKodesh, right, says a little bit more. He says, O Yirtza Omro, Achar Echav, Perush, Ki Yosef Dorash, Divrei Amagid, Kidrashat Raboseinu, Behaving Gamken Advarim Kipashtan. The Rechaim HaKadosh says, that's not that he didn't understand at all, that the remez that Gavriel gave him, that they're trying to do you in. He understood it both ways. You could look at it this way, you could look at it that way. The Hechriya Perush Shein Kava Noso Lomar Elav Shenosu Min Achva. Because he didn't want to believe about them that they really were going to do him in, he leaned in the direction, even though it's dangerous for him. It's dangerous for him, but he leaned in the direction, I'll understand that according to the Pshat. They went to Hillsan, and I'm going to go find him there.
Could it be that he wants to fulfill his father's
wish? That's part of it also. Others say that he leaned in that direction because he felt he could overcome their enmity by showing them his friendship. Mm-hmm. Right? So then the question becomes, says the Orachaim, so what is then? On one hand he tells them where they are, on the other hand he's trying to tell them not to go. So the Orachaim says, perhaps it's or to give him more schus, right? More merit to Yosef. In other words, the fact that he could have understood, he did understand, he understood there are two ways to understand what he was saying. But he leaned in the direction, the favorable direction, and that gives him more merit because of his mysterious nefesh. To fulfill his father's words, to believe that he had the ability to really call to win them over because he didn't really bear them ill will, etc., etc., etc. So you have here entering into a world where there's two agendas happening at the same time. There's what's on the surface, right? And there's what's happening underneath the surface. Yosef receives schar over here, according to Orachaim for sure, for having chosen to look at things with a more optimistic outlook, rather than the more pessimistic one, rather than assuming that they're trying to kill him and they've left their brotherhood behind, but rather he just took it as the pashtus. So that's the way Orachaim understands it. Fine. Further, let's understand. Right? We talked about once a time, maybe years ago, that the issue of Yosef, right, misunderstanding vis-a-vis his brother, because Yosef was on such a lofty level. He was at such a lofty level. So when Rashi tells us at the beginning of the Parsha that he suspected them as being guilty of Avram and Achai, he suspected them as considering the brothers who came from the Shvachos, who came from Bila and Zilpah, as being second class, as being slaves. He considered them suspect with regard to Arias, with the Canaanitish women, etc. So the Gur Ari explains over there, because Yosef was such a tzaddik, Maharal explains, the very beginning of Vayesha, because he was such a tzaddik, he was living on such a rarefied level, that anytime he saw somebody who wasn't doing, like, on his level, he said, no, my goodness, they must be guilty of all sorts of things. Because he was living on such a high level. So therefore, he assumed that if they weren't as medactic as he was, if they weren't as careful as he was, then they must be guilty of who knows what. They allow their servants, perhaps, to take care of their meals. You're not allowed, Chazal say, to allow your servant to prepare a meal, because if push comes to shove and he needs to provide the meal and he's pressured for time, he'll take Avram and Achai. So if they weren't careful with having their servants, which is a din d'rabbanan, yeah, to prepare their meals, so they must be guilty of Avram and Achai. I'm sorry, they don't care. They don't care. Or if he saw them carrying on business dealings with the Canaanite women, how can you get involved with these women? They must be chashed on Gil Arias. If they didn't treat the brothers from the sons of Bila and Zilpah with the same respect, they consider them slaves. All this is exaggeration, but it's understandable because when you're on such a high level, you don't see things correctly. You don't understand how other people see him, I should say. You see them from your point of view, but you don't see it from other people's point of view. So Sasem says over here, he says, we know that the very beginning of Parsha says that Yosef, Hayanar, he was a youth, right? He was a youth, right? Rashi says, how was he a nar? He was straightening out his hair, making sure his eyes look good, etc. So, right, so we think of Yosef, we look at that superficially, and we think, oh my goodness, a real teenager. There's in front of the mirror all the time, right? Right? The part this way, the part that way, where do you put the brill cream, etc.
Oh, Sfasim says he was a nar?
Right, the Chumash says he was a nar. And Rashi says that what he was doing, he did maisenaros, he did things that used to, you know, fixing his hair, etc. Says the Sfasemes. He says, Baposik vu nar. Right, smack dab in the middle of page 2 there. Baposik vu nar, sh'asa maisenaros, memashvesh ve'enav. Right? Memashvesh ve'enav. Memashvesh ve'enav. He's, you know, making sure his eyes look okay. Besalsa besaro, he's like, you know, brushing his hair, making sure, like, you know, he looks good. Va'amar Adoni Mori v'skeni zal. The Sfasemes says in the name of the Chedush Yerim, Mi Pesi, who's foolish enough? Yamin shiu adram kepashtam. That you really think that Yosef Hatzadik, right, is sitting there trying to figure out where to put the part, where to put the bull cream, how much gel to use, right, etc. Rakshazer nechshav letzadik ki Yosef ma senarus. Mashiach osik liyasher tnu osov midosov. He was into perfecting himself. He wanted to look perfect, not because he was preoccupied with olmazeh. He wanted to look perfect because he felt that was the physical expression or the external expression of his own perfection. He was a tzaddik, great aspirations. So therefore, like, you know, like Slobodka, Gadlus Adam, right? Gadlus Adam. Don't look schlocky. Look what he called, look mechubad. Look lofty. As lofty as the soul that you carry inside, that's what the carriage called the guf should look just as lofty. Ulahosif biur, Altvarov, kiyesh tzaddik tachton, says the Sfasemes. There are different types of tzaddikim. There's a tzaddik tachton, there's a lower tzaddik. He's involved in himself, in his own self-perfection. The tzaddik elyon, and then there's an upper tzaddik, right? The lower tzaddik, as he is involved in his own self-perfection, he sees himself becoming more distant and more distant and more distant from everybody else around him. Because he's rising and rising. Right? The tzaddik elyon, though, the upper tzaddik, understands not only, right, that his aspirations to greatness, but realizes that his greatest success is when he can stand on behalf of everybody else. Lift everyone else up and stand on their behalf and see their good qualities. Not their bad qualities, not their deficiencies, their good qualities. When a person is tzaddik tachton, so he's fixing himself, he's correcting himself. But meanwhile, part of the disadvantage of that, or the liability that comes along with that, is we begin to look incorrectly sometimes at other people. We're not following, right, the same pace that you are. When a person gets older, he settles into his tzidkis. Then, like it says, like we say in benching, nara isi gam zakanti. Right? I was a nar, but now I got older. I got wiser. Right? The kol's man chaya Yosef.
So when you say nar, it referred to Yosef.
Yosef, he was still a tzaddik tachlim, he was a lower tzaddik. He hadn't become the upper tzaddik yet. So not like what he called, he's sitting around the, you know, little devil, do you, yes, what he called, you know. He's really caught, he's in the perfection of himself, so he wants to look perfect. But again, not because he's preoccupied, like, you know, how am I going to look in the disco Saturday night, God forbid, right? He's preoccupied because he wants his carriage, his shell, his goof, to be in sync with the godless, his internal godless. But that's still tzaddik tachton. Because Mancha Yosef bebechina tzaddik tachton, in the bold there, in that first Sfasemes, hayamotzi dibal ach echav. When he was still as a tzaddik tachton, he saw the deficiencies of his brother. By makantram bedvarim, he would go to his father and say, "Yo, the suspect of this, the suspect of that, the suspect of next thing." Va'achakach keshenis ala lios tzaddik elyon v'chol asakav ayah b'shamayim v'shamroz chusam shel shvatim. But eventually, he became a tzaddik elyon. He saw their merit. He saw their qualities. Shekatzadik misale v'ro malos bnei Yisrael who malamed alim schus u'moshiyalem b'koach elyon. Because that's what a tzaddik does when he rises. He doesn't see the deficiencies of the Jewish people. Lehefach, on the contrary, he sees the strengths. He sees the values. He sees the loftiness of them, and he speaks on their behalf always.
Well, not outrightly. It's not unconditional. He went through the whole process of testing them. Shouldn't he get to that point?
Okay, I mean, Lamaisi, he took care of them, the rest of their lives. He took care of them there in Mitzrayim,
yeah,
and he wanted to bring them up.
They already proved that. They already proved that they were worthy of being his, of being taken care of.
Only
if
after
not,
he put them through the mill.
If not, he was going to destroy him. He was going to leave him in jail because he was going to spend time in court.
That we don't know. He wanted to bring out from them something that showed that they had realized the mistake that they had made, and he brought it out. Judah said, but he called, "I take responsibility." He wanted to extract that from him. He got it. Further, next Hasemis, right? It says now that's Yosef's direction. That's Yosef's direction. Now in the direction of the brothers, right? Are they just angry guys, jealous guys? So Medrash says the Medrash, Vayeshu lechol the pasuk says Vayeshu lechol lechem, v'ha'achil es atzman, right? So they sat down to eat bread. So Medrash says they sat down to feed themselves. Right, to feed themselves. So the Sfas Emes says, "Ki chalila havin kipshuto shayuchotim chas shalom." We shouldn't think that the tribes, right, were sinners, jealous, angry, hating, right? Gamash amru, that which the Chacham say, ki kol golus ayde azechet. We like that we know that all of the golus. Right? Chazal say, what about by this sin? Selling Yosef. It's not so simple, says the Sfas Emes. V'alo yadua ki adarab, kol kiyum bnei Yisrael bagolus, v'kiyum kol olam b'schus ha-shvatim ka yadua. We only survive because we're attached to the shvatim. Shvatim are not sinners, right? They're not sinners. Again, they did the wrong thing, but they're not like evil people, right? God forbid. If they were evil people, then who are we? We're their children. Yeah. Aval bevagai, says the Sfas Emes. Hashvatim echinu derech bavureinu. They blazed the path for us. Vehim yodu vehevinu kilonu chalios nimshach ban haga el yona v'roma shel Yosef atzadek shenikra nazir echa. Their concern was not on a personal level. Their concern was, if Yosef is successful in proving himself to be on a completely different level than all the rest of us, then he's going to take over. He's going to be the extension of Yaakov, and the rest of us are going to be left out. Our children will be left out.
Right.
They won't be able to live up to his standards. So all the rest of our children, the future generations, will be lost. Only Yosef and the great Tzaddikim. But Klai is not just made up of a great Tzaddikim like Yosef. The other people is not as big as he is. Will there be no room for them? That's why they saw him as a rodef. They saw him as trying to destroy their connection to what he called to continuing the path of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. He's going to leave them on the outside.
Sorum is a heretic, you say?
What?
Sorum is a heretic?
I wouldn't say as a heretic, but as someone who's what he called, who's coming to remove them, right, from the scene.
But he was a leader. That was one of the.
I traits. Understand, but recall. But the fact that he appeared to be. It's too hot. You'll whatever. He recalled it. Their feeling was that if his approach is exclusive, it's so exclusive it's going to exclude them. They didn't see him just as saying he'll be the leader. They saw him as saying that he's qualitatively different from them. And therefore, they're not right to be really caught. They're not right to be in the same, as it were, you know, grouping as he is. In the same gathering as he is. again, it's considered a sin as far as they're concerned, because they should have realized, no, maybe we can rise to the occasion. But it's not as simple as it appears. So Yosef errs in that he makes the mistake of, when you're looking from a high level down at somebody else, realizing that just because they're not on your level doesn't mean they don't have qualities and the greatness embedded inside of them. And the brothers made the mistake, when they're looking up at somebody bigger than them, it doesn't mean necessarily that you can't aspire to attach yourself to that type of, what do you call it, that type of existence. But the errors are obviously not the same as they appear at the surface. So nothing is the way it appears to be, right? That's part of the darkness, like we said before. Yaakov prepared to bring the Jewish people into darkness. He davened Ma'ariv. Yosef is his extension. Yosef is, as it were, the whole story of Yosef and his brothers is comprised of mistakes and correcting those mistakes. Yosef learns, what it means to care for those who are on a level less than he is. The brothers learn what it means to have brotherhood and not enmity, even though they see differences amongst themselves, and even though they're concerned about those differences. Right? So their agendas over here of darkness, like you said, the Mesillas Yesharim says there are different things in darkness. There's darkness where you don't see anything, and there's darkness where you're confused. And Yaakov came to the Makom Mamikdash, and he felt an incredible darkness, and he said, perhaps there is no way to be able to find Hashem over here. Comes the dream that he had, and he realized, and he says, Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'anoch l'yadati. He made a mistake. He thought there are places that you couldn't find Hashem. And Hashem proved him, no, you can find me everywhere. That was one form of darkness. Yosef, however, the story, Yosef of the flame of Yaakov's fire, his is the darkness. The whole story here is the darkness of making a mistake, of perceiving things incorrectly. Right? That's another form of darkness, the Mesillas Yesharim says. You look at a pillar, you think it's a person. You look at a person, you think it's a pillar. Right? Etc. Yosef made a mistake in the way he looked at his brothers. His brothers made a mistake in the way they looked at him. And the whole story of these errors, and then the correction of those errors, is a further extraction of light out of darkness. Just like Yaakov realized that there's no place that's empty of Hashem's presence, findable presence for us. That was one form of flame of light, in darkness. And then Yosef and his brothers, as it were, their misperception, their misguided way of looking at one another, that also needed, had to have light shed upon it. It took a long time. Yosef had to be sent to Mitzrayim. The brothers had to be caught, had to deal with Yaakov's mourning. The brothers had to come down, they had to be willing to sacrifice for Binyamin, but eventually the light becomes clear. How to look at one another. How to look at one another. Finally, the last thing, right? The last thing is also another form of realizing light out of darkness. Imagine Yosef with Eishes Potiphar. Right? There he is, Eishes Potiphar. She tries to seduce him. He resists. So, you'd think, okay, now that's it, I'm Mashiach. What happens? He gets put into prison. So the first reaction of a regular person would be, like, who's running this show here? Did they take driver's ed? Did they see what I just did? Why am I winding up in prison? But Yosef never questioned. Even when, if he doesn't understand, but he never questions, because he knows that God is running the show. He says this Fasemes. He says, Yesh li zbonim, b'ma she'sivev HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ach she'omad b'nisoyon ha'atzum hazeh. He says, you have to think about this, that Hashem caused, after he was omed in the nisoyon of Eishes Potiphar, asher chachamim higidu, k'haya godol minisyonei ha'avos. It was greater than the nisyonos of the avos, this temptation. Va'achakach nosnu adono b'beis asirim, and then he winds up getting thrown into the slammer. V'nemer b'zeki Hashem yisbarach mesabev, right? We have to say from this that a Kodesh Baruch Hu brings about kishetzorich lahanish latzadik, when he needs to bring an onus upon the tzadik to cleanse him of some deficiency, of some foible, of some frailty, of some, something he's missing, something he's not done correctly. When he needs to punish him, Ya'onesh v'sha'a asher schuso rav ma'od. Hashem arranges that the punishment should come at a time when his merit is incredibly great. You hear that? You hear that? Nasnu adyeh ka'asher matinu shedan b'nei Yisrael b'yom, etc. Hashem judges, in other words, when a person needs to be cleansed of something. He's got baggage. Who knows from how long ago. He needs to be cleansed. That cleansing takes place when he's at his highest moment. Highest moment. Because that protects him. That protects him. Yeah? Even though he needs to be cleansed, but it puts, as it were, like a lead shield around him when he has to be exposed to the x-rays. Right? Puts a lead shield around him. Ki be'emes hamas ha'onesh al adiba. He was put in prison, and that was the cleansing act, that was the onesh, that he spoke ill of his brothers. Right? He needed that. He needed that final, and just the fact that he was sold down to the slime hadn't sufficiently cleansed him. Hashem knows. He knows how to make this cheshbonos. He needed further cleansing. He waited until Yosef was his highest moment so he'd have the lead shield of his incredible act of Mesiras Nefesh, of Bilobi Ben Yisayin, to protect him when the onesh came upon him. Right? He raised himself up to his loftiest, loftiest level. Yosef HaTzadik, the one who's careful, he's Shomer HaBris. Right? When you rise in levels, so now you're a high level. Not only you protect it, but the fact is now that you're on a higher level, you've reached your highest level, now we gotta clean off, yeah, even the slightest blemish from you. When you're in a back room, when you're in a mahasan someplace, so no one sees you, okay? You're out in the light, you're out in the spotlight. It's like they say, if you don't put on makeup when they put you in front of the spotlights, in front of the cameras, and everybody sees every pore that's too deep, or every this and every that. So everybody puts on makeup. Why? Because when you're under the spotlights, everything is seen. So now that he's risen to his highest level, now we're gonna cleanse him, says Rabbeinu Shalom, of that flaw. Medaktikim etadikim kachut hasara. Umize yikach odam kal v'chomer shelo lovo chas v'shom v'de gavus v'asos achas v'mitzvah Hashem. Says the Sfas Emes, he says, we should learn from this, that if, let's say, we're successful with a mitzvah, we shouldn't start schwitzing. Yeah? Putting our thumbs underneath our suspenders, right? And saying, wow, how great I am, how unbelievable I am, etc., etc., etc. Why? Yeah,
start worrying about you.
Because right now that you've risen, now you might need to be cleansed, right? It's nothing to run away from. It's nothing to run away from. You can't run away from it, right? We say to yourself, why rise? Do I take the chance? But the Baal Shem Tov says, he says, it's just like Yaakov. It says, Vayeshev Yaakov, Be'eretz Migurei Aviv. Yaakov dwelt in the land of the... Migurei means to dwell, right? Magur also means fear. Whereas Yaakov knew that eventually the Golus was going to fall upon him. Right? But he dwelled in the land of the fear of his father. Right? That he knew that eventually the Golus was going to come, it's going to come upon him. But he didn't run away from it. Because he can't run away. He can't run away from Hashem. He says, it's like a pregnant woman. She doesn't want the tsar. Where could she run to? It'll follow her wherever she goes. She's carrying it with her. She's carrying it with her. That's what Yaakov did. And so too also, Sfas Emes says, right? There's no point running away. Right? That's what Baal Shem Tov says. And on the other hand, a person has to know, don't schwitz when you're successful at something, because now that you've risen to a new level, right, you're more under the spotlights. You need to be cleansed more. It's all to our advantage. Right? It's all to our advantage. But Hashem should protect us. Okay.
Thanks.